Well, I think you would agree that we all go through things that don't turn out the way we planned them to. I see you shaking your head, yes. And Josh has been talking about your setback is really a setup for your comeback. You serve a God of a comeback. The Bible is full of comeback stories. We serve a God who can take life's biggest setbacks and turn them into the greatest comeback. Today I want to talk to you about a person who rose to the occasion, a person when adversity hit, they knew exactly what to do. They didn't let their setback stop them. They didn't just wallow in self-pity. They didn't sit in a puddle of tears and quit, but they rose up. Their setback was a setup for their comeback. Somebody say, can't stop, won't stop. You see, if you're going to live this life of faith, I'm going to tell you right now, it's not easy. You can't be a quitter. You've got to be tough, and you've got to be anchored to the word. So no matter what storm hits your life, how hard the waves and the surges are, you stay steady because your anchor is solid into Jesus Christ. Amen. Turn with me to 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 8. 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 8. This is a story of one person, an individual whose testimony and witness is an incredible example. This is a person of faith. They had a can't stop, won't stop attitude. So let's go ahead and read and start in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 8. It says, now it happened one day that Elisha went to Shunem, where there was a notable woman, and she persuaded him to eat some food. So it was, as often as she passed by, he would turn in there to eat some food. And she said to her husband, look now, I know that this is a holy man of God who passes by us regularly. So here you have this woman who sees this man of God coming through their town, and she wants to take care of him, and she feeds him. And she goes on to say, please let us make a small upper room on the wall, and let us put a bed in him in there for him, and a table and a chair and a lampstand. So it will be whenever he comes to us, he can turn in there. So think about that. She's making a place for a man of God in her house. Then he said to Gehazi, his servant, call this Shunammite woman. When he had called her, she stood before him. And he said to him, say now to her, look, you have been concerned for us with all this care. What can I do for you? So he realizes how much she's doing for him. And he's like, what can I do for you in return? Do you want me to speak on your behalf to the king or to the commander of the army? She answered, I dwell among my own people. So he said, what then is it to be done for her? And Gehazi answered, actually, she has no son and her husband is old. So he said, call her. When he had called her, she stood in the doorway. Then he said, about this time next year, you shall embrace a son. And she said, no, my Lord, man of God, do not lie to your maidservant. But the woman conceived and bore a son when the appointed time had come, of which Elisha had told her. Can you imagine how excited she must have been? Somebody who was barren all of a sudden gets to have a child. She has a promise from God that was answered, and he is there and she is holding him. Verse 18, and the child grew. Now it happened one day that he went out to his father, to the reapers. He said to his father, my head, my head. So he said to the servant, carry him to his mother. When he had taken him and brought him to his mother, he sat on her knees till noon and then died. So can you imagine what is going through this woman's head? She had waited so long for a child. She finally gets one, and now he's dead. But listen to what she does. She went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God, shut the door upon him, and went out. Verse 22. Then she called to her husband and said, please send me one of the young men and one of the donkeys that I may run to the man of God and come back. I think we're about to hear a comeback story. Amen. So he said, why are you going to him today? It is neither the new moon nor the Sabbath. And she said, it is well. Then she saddled a donkey and said to her servant, drive and go forward. Do not slacken the pace for me unless I tell you. You can't let your setback slow you down. We've got to get it together no matter the setback. We as believers can't stop and we won't stop. There are no excuses to be made. This woman, she had all the excuses in the world to stop and give up, to stand there, throw her hands up in the air, cry and say, why God? Why God? But she didn't. It's time, church, that we stop letting setbacks stop us. It's time that we stop letting setbacks ruin years of your life. I don't know where God has been taking you or what he is leading you to do, but today I'm here to tell you, it's time to get it in gear. Now is not the time to sit back and let life or allow life circumstances to slow you down. Most of us in this room drive some sort of vehicle. And you know, when you have to get somewhere, you've got to put it in gear to drive. It's time to get it in gear. Number one is get it in gear. This woman had a son who just died in her lap. She had taken him to the prophet's room and she had laid him in the place that she had built and made for the man of God in her house. Listen closely. When you make a place for God, you make a place for power. You make a place for a miracle. This woman had made a place for God in her life and in her home. She made a place for some power in her time of need and a place for some miracles. This woman had made a place for God in her life, and at this desperate moment, when it hit her home, she knew exactly where to go. The Bible says in verse 24, she said, drive. The Hebrew word for drive is nahag, which means to drive away, to lead off, to cause to drive. The thing that got her to her breakthrough or got her to her miracle was the fact that she made up her mind that she was going to do something. She was not going to just sit there, but she was going to do something. Her son had passed away. Hear what I'm saying. Her son died in her arms and things were desperate. She had to drive away from the death of the situation if she was going to get her miracle. You see, this mother was not going to stay in her house because she knew where her answer was. Her answer was in God. You see, you need to get to Jesus for your peace. You need to get to Jesus for your children. You need to get to Jesus for your family. Get to Jesus for strength to make it through this life. He is the answer. The miracle is not going to manifest by staying in the same place and repeating life's same rituals. You've tried it over and over. You've done it many, many times. The breakthrough, your comeback that you're hoping for is in God. The breakthrough that you need is when you let go and you let God. Let the healer, let the deliverer, let the restorer, let the provider, let him have his way and take control. Some of you may be sitting there thinking, why doesn't God take control of my situation? Well, maybe it's because you're hanging on to it so tight, he can't get it out of your grip. We wonder why he doesn't take control, and we're just squeezing the mess out of it ourselves, and we won't let it go, and we won't give it to Jesus. It's time to release some things and let God take control and have his way. How many of you know that his way is always, always, always better than ours? It always is. So why are we always trying to do it our way? Why are we always trying to do it ourselves? We've got to release control so he can take control. And your miracle will begin to manifest after you release it, let it go, and get to God. The Lord will use our desperate situations, our toughest places, to get us up and moving in the right direction. How many times in your life has God used the toughest situation your very desperate hour to get you up and moving, seeking after him. Up until that moment, you had been looking every direction but to him. You'd been looking all around. You'd been looking behind. You'd been looking down, but you hadn't been looking to him. You see, it'll cause you to seek after him. He has a plan for your life, and he has a destiny for you. You cannot stay where you are to get where you are going and where he has designed you to be. It's natural for us to stay where we are because we're all creatures of comfort. We like things a certain way all the time. We like it the way we like it. We like to be comfortable, wouldn't you agree? Nobody knows that better than God does. He numbers every single hair on your head. That means he knows your life all the way down to the very smallest detail. You may be here and you may not like what you're up against, what your life is. You may not like the pressure that it's putting on you right now. But there is nothing like pressure to cause you to get it in gear and cause you to drive. There's nothing like a setback to cause you to drive. It's time to change your position today, get it in gear, and drive. Let's go back to the text in verse 24. It says that she saddled a donkey and said to her servant, "Drive." What I love about this mother is that she believed with everything in her that something would change if she got to God. She had no doubt. She did not waver. If she could just touch him, something would be different. Something would change. She would have never went outside that house, left her son, and saddled that donkey unless she believed with all of her heart that God could turn it around. As parents, you know, you don't want to leave your children in a desperate hour. But she knew she had to get to Elisha. And she knew that if she could get to Elisha, then everything would be all right. Elisha was the prophet that God used to speak over her life and say, "I know you're barren and I know you shouldn't have a son, but be blessed. And next year at this time, you're going to carry a son and hold him in your arms." It was a miracle. And God had spoken through Elisha to her. It's when we come to him that we find everything we need. Pursue him for that next place. Pursue him for your miracle. Pursue him for your dreams. Pursue him for those things that he put deep down on the inside of you. It's not too late. Somebody needs to hear that this morning. It's not too late. It doesn't matter how old you are. It's not too late. Too often we allow ourselves to sit in neutral because of our insecurities, our weaknesses, our failures, and our fears. But don't let those things hold you back from the greatness God has for you. You see, we don't expect God to propel us into the next place. That's why we're still in the struggle. We don't expect why we're still believing, why we're still being overwhelmed and overcome for him to bring us to the next level, so we don't even try to attempt anything new. We don't even try to step out. But it's time to change that. It's time to saddle up that donkey and let your setback become the motivation to do something different. Right now, when you're underneath it all, when things look rough, this is the time to pursue God. By going after Elisha, this woman was going after God because Elisha represented the word of God. She was running to the word. This is the time to reach for God with all that you have. It's time to lay hold of your promise and not let go. It's not time to give up and cry. It's not time to give up and die. It's time to get up, drive. You can't stop and you won't stop. Do you believe it this morning? Now is the time. Now is the time. Even when things look desperate, can't stop, won't stop, my comeback is on the way. While I'm still struggling, can't stop, won't stop, my comeback is on the way. Even if your promise looks dead and you don't know how God can turn that mess into a miracle, saddle up, baby, get it in gear and drive. Can't stop, won't stop. You got to get out of park. You got to get out of neutral, get out of that church pew and get to God. Do something. Begin to do something new, something different, and your situation will change. You can't keep doing the same thing, expecting different results. You are a child of the King. Get it in gear. You've been waiting. You've been watching too long. It's time to get your thoughts in drive. It's time to get your heart in drive. Let passion come alive on the inside of you. If you get to God, something will change. Get some passion for your family. Get some passion for your God. Get some passion for souls. Do what it takes, but don't ever give up. Never just sit and mourn or think, I should have done this, or I could have done this, or maybe. No, come on, it's time to do something for God. No more excuses. Can't stop, won't stop. Drive away from a prayerless life to a life of prayer. Drive away from a self-sufficient, I can do it on my own life, to a life of trust and faith, a God-confident life. Drive away from the bondage of fear to a life of victory and overcoming power. Whatever the devil meant for evil, God promised, and his promises are sure that he would use it for my good. Do you believe it? You serve a good God. So the first thing the Shunammite woman said was get it in gear. And the second thing she said was go forward. That tells us, number two, to keep moving forward. Everything that this Shunammite woman wanted was behind her. Everything but her answer. I want to say that again. Everything that the Shunammite woman wanted was behind her. Everything but her answer. Because what she cherished most in her life was in her house. Her heart was aching for what was behind her in her house. Her child was dead. But she knew if she stayed in that hurting place that she would not get her breakthrough. She wouldn't get her comeback story. And more than that, her son would not get his breakthrough. So she pulled herself up and dragged herself out of that place and said, I've got to go forward. The words go forward in Hebrew is yalak, which means to proceed, to move, to depart, and to walk. In other words, I believe she was declaring, I know my answer is not behind me, but it is in front of me, and I've got to move. I can't stay here. You see, I've got to depart from this. I've got to leave this behind so I can get to my breakthrough, so I can get to my comeback, and my child can live in victory. We've got to rise up and leave behind us those things that hold us back from moving forward. Maybe it's a temper. Maybe it's negativity. Maybe it's a addiction or the enemy's lies playing of having a field day in your mind. Maybe it's attitude, but we've got to break through those things because it's not only holding you back from victory, but it holds those around you from victory. We need to get it in gear and move forward in every area of our life. This Shunammite woman knew the only hope she had was if she could get to the man of God. It was not staying home. It wasn't crying over the situation. It wasn't complaining, and it wasn't pitying herself. I'm here to tell somebody who's sitting still because of something that has happened in your life. That setback that has paralyzed you, it's time to go forward. It's time to let go of it and move on. Your deliverance is in front of you. It's not behind you, but in front of you. Looking back at those things that we can never change only causes us to miss out on victory and miss out on opportunities that God has for us because we're so busy looking behind us. It causes us to miss out on an awesome life and destiny that God is wanting to bring forth in our lives. We have inside of us a limitless God who can still bring you out of this and bring you to a place of victory. How many know that's good news? It's not too late. It's just the devil that tries to keep you wrapped up in your past to stop you from moving forward. In Luke chapter 1, verse 37, it says, "For with God nothing shall be impossible." It's not impossible for you to get over your past. It is not impossible for you to get over your past, no matter what it is. It's not impossible for you to get over the failure. It's not impossible for you to get over fear and insecurities that keep you from going forward into what God has for you. Whatever that may be, a career or that relationship, that business or ministry, the devil tries to hold us back by reminding us of every failure and mistake from the past. But the word of God says, "I am redeemed." A redeemer is one who frees or delivers another from difficulties, danger, or bondage, usually by a payment of a ransom price. Can I tell you, our Bible declares in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to testify in due time." You see, you have a redeemer who has liberated you and freed you from every single stronghold, every failure, every mistake and sin. That's good news. Aren't you thankful for the power of the cross? Aren't you thankful for his blood that washed you clean and now you're white as snow? Aren't you thankful for the power of the Holy Spirit that burns on this inside of you? Yet, today, there are people still being held back from victorious living. How can that be? Too many people who have been saved, filled with the Holy Ghost, and they're at every church service, but they're still not walking in victory in certain areas of their life. Still dealing with the same struggles. We believe the word, and we can even quote it, and agree with other people in prayer, but really never apply it to our own life. So we can be delivered and have the victory that Jesus Christ gave. He didn't say that I've come to give you a mediocre life, but he says in John 10:10, "I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly." He wants you to have more than enough in this life. You don't have to wait to heaven. There is no need to stay in the same old place. There is no need to stay in that same old bondage, that same old mindset, and that same old attitude, living in neutral, sometimes even living in reverse. When we have been redeemed, we are the redeemed of the Lord. You've got to come into agreement with the word of God for yourself. That's how you overcome and live in victory. Speak the word, live the word, and do what the word says. Come into agreement with the word of God that you have been redeemed. Begin believing it right now. You have been redeemed from the hand of the enemy. He has no power over you. No power at all. It says in Psalms 107, verse 2, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy." As a child of God, you've been forgiven. Amen? So when the enemy of your soul and destiny comes to remind you of your past, what do you need to say? So? When he comes to you saying, "You did this and you know you did that," you say, "So, I am forgiven. I am redeemed. So, devil, I'm forgiven. It's forgotten. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed." Anybody been set free in the house this morning? There's too much of God to gain to keep holding on to the past. You've got to let it go and say so. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 3, verse 13, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. It's time to get it in gear and keep moving forward. The third thing that the Shunammite woman said was, do not slack in the pace. Number three, pick up the pace. Back in our text in verse 24, she says, drive and go forward. Do not slacken the pace for me unless I tell you. The meaning for slack in Hebrew is the word etzar, and it means to be restrained to stop, to halt, to close up, to shut up, and to be under restraint. You see, this mother had recognized the urgency of the hour in which she was in. She knew she was not privileged with time to just sit back and relax and take a moment. She did not have a moment to waste. Everything within her was feeling the effects and ramification of the situation at hand. Have you ever been hit with news that caused your life to tremble? I know I have, and that if you didn't know the Lord, you wouldn't make it out of your right mind without him. I can remember the day that I got the phone call about my dad telling me that he had cancer and that it didn't look good and it was really bad. That moment was life-shaking. That moment shook my very insides. When you know something like that hits your life, the shock of it hits every part of your being, and you realize the urgency. Your insides begin to shake. Your heart beats hard and fast. Your stomach gets nauseated. Your hands tremble. Your mind begins to race on what to do. At that moment, you've got to decide what you're going to do. At that moment, we had to decide what we were going to do for my dad. Were we going to curl up in a ball and cry and say, that's it? It's over. Or were we going to fight it? Were we going to believe the word of God no matter how bad it looked in the natural? Were we going to believe the word, or were we going to go what the natural said and just sit there and cry and mourn every single day till he took his last breath? When that moment came, we decide to fight it with everything we had. We fought it from every angle, every moment of every day. We did everything we could to his very last breath. And you know, those moments are hard on you. Those moments make you question. I'm not going to lie to you and say, not for one moment did I doubt anything about God or his word or healing. There was moments where it was so overwhelming that I had those glimpses of why God, you know, it only take one touch from you to stop the suffering right here. Just one touch. Why wouldn't you do it? Did everything I know to do, quoting the word, speaking the word, doing everything in the natural, doing everything in the spiritual, had everybody praying. Why? Why aren't you doing something? That's when you've got to choose. Are you going to sit there in that puddle, question God and question everything you believe? Or are you going to stand up and say, I don't know why, God, that he's sitting there suffering. I don't know why he didn't get healed, but I do know your word is true. And I know your ways are better than our ways. And I know that we don't understand everything on this earth, but you got to choose the word of God. You've got to choose. Now, I'm not telling you the opportunity isn't there, because it's there. I mean, for crying out loud, we're pastors. We're supposed to have it together, right? Don't think I didn't sit there and cry and yell at God and I can't figure this out. And I had that time and I had that moment. But when I thought about it in my life, I'm like, that's what quitters do. That's the easy way out, to say, you know what, God, I'm going to blame this all on you. I'm going to quit. That's it. I don't believe it anymore. That's the easy way out. You found somebody to blame. Okay, let's go sit and cry. No, no, it's the overcomers and the ones who live victorious that say, no, 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 devil, you're not going to win. We're going to rise up. We're going to take this situation. You're not going to stop us. We can't stop. We won't stop. Amen. Many of you came up to me and said, my dad died on a Saturday morning and the next day was church and it was Easter. And Josh was like, you don't have to come. And I said, you know what? I'm coming. The enemy has stole from me enough. He's not going to steal this. We're going to declare the word. We're going to declare that I serve a good God. No matter what happened in my life that day, I know that I serve a good God. He did not take my dad. Cancer stole my dad, and that is from the enemy. So we have to make that in our mind where good comes from and bad, and we don't let those setbacks stop us or paralyze, because they sure give you that opportunity to do that. So just imagine this Shunammite woman. She had to be in that state as her son literally dies in her lap. Her promise was dead, but she picks him up and she takes him to the man of God's room and shuts the door and she walks out, and all that she can think about at that moment was her child, which was her miracle from God. She wasn't even able to have a child till that prophet spoke it. And now the child was dead. Her promise was dead. She knew if she was going to make it through this, she was going to have to get to God for him. Her husband tried to talk to her, and all she could say was, "It is well." What a response. That's how much faith she had. Her son died, and all that she could say was, "It is well." There were no other words to say that moment. This was not the time for conversation. She sat on that donkey and told her servant, "Don't stop for anything. Don't let anything restrain you. Don't even halt for anybody. Don't slack in the pace." You see, nothing was worth slowing her down into getting to God. Absolutely nothing. She had no time to waste. The enemy desires to slow you down by stealing your time with God, your faith in God, so he can steal your destiny in God. He keeps you so busy, you don't have time to pray. I know I'm guilty of that. He keeps you so busy so you won't have any power, too tired to read his word, so you won't have any ammunition or any direction for your life. And when that happens, he has no problem restraining you. He has no problem defeating you. He has no problem depressing you and discouraging you, holding you back from your God-given purpose. And in our text, this woman's son had died, but she allowed nothing to detour her. Absolutely nothing. Don't you know she could have pulled that donkey over to her sister's house and cried on her shoulder for a minute? She could have visited her best friend and said, "Can you believe this happened to me? My promise from the Lord is dead." She could have got on Facebook and posted her tragedy. But she didn't do that. She didn't waste a moment, but she let faith rise up on the inside of her. And she laid the boy in the place that she had prepared for the man of God. You see, she had been serving God. This didn't just pop up in her life and she had to figure out how to get to God. You see, you can't wait till all hell's breaking loose in your life and then tap God on the shoulder and say, "Where are you? Where are you, God?" The question is, where have you been? You don't know what to do because you haven't made a place for God in your life. But this woman did, and she knew how to get to God. She had already made a place for God in her life. She knew what to do. She didn't look back. She didn't even look to her husband. She had but one place to go, and she knew how to get there. All she said was, "It is well." That's a woman of faith. She let nothing detour her from her miracle, her breakthrough, or her victory, but she put action with her faith. You can't just be a hearer of the word, but you've got to be a doer. You need to declare that you are not going to lack because of your own slack. Make a decision that I'm not going to lack because of my slackness to pray. I'm not going to lack anything you want from me, Lord, because of my slackness to speak the word, or because of my slackness to study your word, or my slackness to seek your face in prayer. Don't slow down. We live in an urgent hour. We were in the last days preparing for the King of Glory to come and take us home. In 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 29, it says, "But let me say this, dear brothers and sisters, the time that remains is very short." It doesn't get any clearer than that. So from now on, those with wives should not focus only on their marriage. Those who weep or who rejoice or who buy things should not be absorbed by their weeping or their joy or their possessions. Those who use the things of the world should not become attached to them, for this world as we know it will soon pass away. How many believe we're living in the last days? There's no time to waste. We've got to have that can't stop, won't stop attitude. Your miracle may look dead. Right now, what you're facing, what you're going through might look dead, but don't slacken the pace. Keep pursuing, keep pressing, keep driving, keep moving, keep going forward. Keep believing God no matter what. He's going to turn it around. He's going to resurrect it, that he's going to breathe life back into it in Jesus' name. Your comeback is on the way. Nobody said it'd be easy, though. Keep up the pace. You've got to finish your race if you're going to want to make it. Hold on. Have faith and press in. Let nothing hold you back. There is a purpose for your life, and you must begin pursuing it. Somebody this morning, you need to get it in gear. You got to start moving forward and pick up that pace in your life and in your walk with God. I want to ask you, do you realize who you are? Do you know who you are? That you are a child of the Most High God. You have been bought by His blood. You have been redeemed. You've got the fire of the Holy Spirit burning on the inside of you. And the best part is you're headed for heaven. Hallelujah. Make a decision that I'm not going to let anything stop me, because I want everything the Lord has for me. How many want everything the Lord has for you? You don't want to live a life of slack. You want it all. You want that abundant life right here, right now. Can't stop, won't stop. I want to encourage you to never let anything stop you from getting to God, no matter what the circumstances, no matter what the setback or the tragedy, whatever it may be in your life. This Shunammite woman didn't let anything stop her. She did not quit. She got to God, and her promise was resurrected, and the Lord can do the same for you. He doesn't just favor one person. He loves you all the same. If He did it for her, then He can do it for you. Amen. You've got to believe that this morning. Your setback is a setup for your comeback. If you believe that, stand to your feet. It's time, church, to get it in gear. Quit letting the enemy steal years of your life. Quit letting the enemy steal so much. Enough is enough. You're a child of God. You have authority in the mighty name of Jesus over anything the enemy can possibly do to you. I want to pray with you this morning. Maybe you've been struggling with something, a setback, something in your life, and it's ruined years of your life. It's set you back. It's taking so much toll on you. You can't hardly stand it. It's been paralyzing you. You can barely function through the day with every head bowed and every eye closed. If that's you, if you just raise up your hand, I want to pray with you. I just want to know who I'm praying with. There are hands all over the room. This life isn't easy. Don't try to do it on your own. Let's live a God-confident life. Dear Father in heaven, we come to you in the mighty name of Jesus. So thankful to come into your house and hear your word that's life-changing. I pray for these people who have been paralyzed by a setback or been dealing with life circumstances, or a storm is raging in your life, in their life. I pray for them right now that faith would arise in them, that they would be encouraged by your word this morning, that they would be changed from this moment on, that they would leave different than they came. I ask that you reveal yourself yourself more and more to Him. Reveal your joy, your peace. Fill their entire being from head to toe with joy and peace. I pray that you give them wisdom beyond their years. Show them exactly what to do. Guide them, lead them, guide their paths. We're thankful that you do that. We're thankful that we can call on you and you bring you and your kingdom to stand by our side. And I thank you for it now. I thank you for these situations, these messes, that they'll be turned into masterpieces, that they'll be turned into miracles, that these setbacks will be their greatest comeback and they'll never be the same. They will be so on fire for you that will pursue you more and more because they know that you are the answer. You are the way. You are the Redeemer. You're the only hope. You're the only one that can take these situations and turn them around. And I thank you that you're a good God and that your love reaches so far in your mercy and your grace, and we can call on you. We give you all the glory for it now. Thank you for changing these messes into masterpieces. Thank you that you're still a mountain-moving, miracle-working God, and I'm thankful that I can call on you. We give you all the glory for it now, and everybody said in the mighty name of Jesus, amen. Somebody say, can't stop, won't stop. Well, I'm so glad y'all came this morning. I want you to have an awesome week. Don't ever quit. Don't ever give up.